Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Coming up on the Holderness Family Podcast, we're in London. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
Pretty sure Meghan Markle, I saw her having tea.
Because everyone else here is either a lord or an earl.
Bless your heart.
Day boozing.
You're ridiculous.
We're done with karaoke.
I love some shoulder pads.
All right, I'm angry about this.
Where's the nearest karaoke bar?
Very, very angry.
So, I think this is a really boring podcast.
No, it's not. We're done with karaoke.
Bless your heart.
So there's no Ted.
Definitely think Tupac is not dead. He's definitely in London.
See, that's journalism right there.
Right, let's start the show.
That is terrible, and apologies to everybody in the UK. Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. We're those guys. We're that family.
We're that family that you see on the internet, like probably your Aunt Linda, or maybe your
Midge.
Midge, yep. Shared a video on Facebook you saw. We make these goofy videos. Our goal in life is to make you laugh and to provide some entertainment. This is a podcast. We hope you think a little. We hope it makes you think.
It's a little longer form. You can get to know us better. It's super, super important that you hit the subscribe button wherever you got this podcast. It makes a big difference to us, and it lets us keep doing this. We're actually loving this, like, little secret. This is our favorite thing to do. Kim just sneezed. Bless you.
Bless you. Bless so, your yeah. heart. And then, you know, in the South, what we say is bless your heart. We want to insult you.
We have so many ways of subversively talking about people in the South. So, but look.
Can I say something
real
quick?
Yes.
Oh, were you going to say something?
I was going to talk more about subscribing because you told me to do that.
Okay. Well, we're at the Holderness Family on Instagram, and that's a great way to get in touch with us. Subscribe on this Apple podcast. But speaking of Instagram and the whole thing. We did a podcast that I meant to be kind of romantic and schmushy
last week,
and it ended up me crying because of our pups, Ruby, and the flood of feedback that we have received has been – I'm not going to cry – has been so heartwarming, and so many of you have stories of similar things that many didn't feel comfortable talking about because they know how people – can judge them when talking about animals. And just to recap, if you haven't heard, our sweet puppy is obedient and perfect and wonderful, but is very protective of us and has bitten some people. And we have made the decision that she needs to find a new home. We are actively seeking a new home for her. But the feedback has, I just feel so wrapped in love and hugs. And it has been, you know, the internet is not always kind at all, but the fact that it has, like, brought strangers into my life that have provided this love is it's like my favorite thing ever. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I'm still going through messages and doing my best to read and reply to everything. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and I want to thank you too, because I, no matter what I say, hearing it from someone who's not your husband is always better.
Well, and yes. No, it's just it's just to know that there's some like validation that, yeah, you know, people have been through this and had happy endings. They've had dogs that have,
yeah,
just not succeeded inside their home, but found like happiness in other situations. Like that's my thing. Is I just want my girl to like be happy and loved and in a situation where she can thrive and yeah, and not bite people that walk in our door
and live.
And live.
Like those, those are our, yeah, priorities right now. And so, yeah, thank you so much. And I echo all those sentiments. And if you want to hear more about it, you can just go back to the prior podcast when we talked about that and also romantic Valentine's Day things. This week's podcast was meant to be about my first TED Talk, because Kim thinks I have a good TED Talk.
We call it a Fred Talk.
We got it over like lunch. We were having lunch. And by the way, we're in London. We had lunch in London. And Kim has decided that I'm going to be a motivational speaker because of a random way that I do things, right?
He has incredible willpower. He can say no to pizza. And he has this whole scientific mind meld way that he focuses on getting tasks done. I think it's fascinating. So the first part of this podcast is about our London adventures. And something we find is just inexcusable here in London. It is just not cool at all. And then we go on to Penn's, we're calling it his Fred Talk, about willpower and self-motivation.
And in between, we call an Indian restaurant. Here we go.
Good morning or afternoon or evening, or we don't know what time it is or what day it is.
We don't know where we are. We don't know what day of the week it is. And we're pretty sure that where our kids are, it's 3 o'clock last Wednesday or next Tuesday.
We don't know. Yeah. We are recording this podcast from London Town.
Foggy London Town.
Yes. Oh my goodness. We're so excited to be here. We were invited to London by a PR agency called Ketchum. They're amazing and wonderful. And they invited us to speak at VidCon, which is a conference for YouTube, Facebook creators, video creators. And we got a chance to meet all these really cool people. And, you know, since we're here, we extended the trip to have some mommy daddy time.
I know. We have an extra day. So we went to this. So just a little secret. The food in London's great. We went to this amazing lunch. And then we went and looked in some stores, and then we decided we wanted to just spend as much time as possible in this hotel because of how much it costs.
Yes.
And this is the one thing on the trip we're paying for. So we're going to make the most of it. So we have our bathrobes on, and I want to paint a picture for you. We are doing this podcast lying on our backs on a bed in London, staring at what looks to be a very well painted coffered ceiling.
Again,
at this hotel,
the lovely people paid for our flight and they paid for our hotel. We extended the trip, so we're like, we'll stay in a fancy hotel for one night. We are not fancy people.
No,
we stick out hard in this hotel.
Yeah, I have this blazer that I just felt the need to wear around. It doesn't match any of the clothes that I have on, but I wore it when we went to VidCon yesterday. I was like, you know what? I'm wearing a blazer because everyone else here is either a lord
Or
an earl?
I'm pretty sure Meghan Markle, I saw her having tea, yeah, in the lobby.
There's at least two knights downstairs.
it's gorgeous.
And definitely some ladies. And I don't mean lady, like capital L lady. Dames. There's dames here.
And some broads.
Judi Dench Kim also thought she saw Tupac today. I feel we should discuss this.
I definitely think Tupac is not dead. He's definitely in London.
Can you explain like the context? Because we were looking like a bird's eye view.
He looked so much like Tupac.
It was a Yankees hat with earbuds.
I feel like the Yankees hat would have been like a Tupac if he was alive, would not be wearing a Yankees hat. So that's
why not?
I don't know.
Can we look up whether he's a, is he a fan?
Anyway, so we don't blend in. I'm wearing my Nike sneakers and my dungarees. But we're having an amazing time. The kiddos are being well cared for by a sitter who is more qualified to be a parent than
she's
we are.
A better parent than us.
Yeah.
Let's just say it.
So they're having a blast too. And tomorrow we fly back. But we had a great discussion at lunch. And I said, you know what? This is a podcast.
Yes. And we can get to that. I want to spend a little more time talking about London because we do podcasts are long.
Yes.
And I want to talk more about London because I have a list.
Oh, bless.
I've made a list.
Oh, and you know what I taught the people And we met some new friends that are from in London. I taught them how to say bless your heart. And they're like, what does that mean? I was like, bless your heart is like...
You're about to insult them.
When you kind of want to insult, like in the South, you say bless your heart, which is like, you're ridiculous. But it's like the nice way of saying it. Okay, so bless your heart. Okay.
Yeah, that's a
good
one. You
have a list?
Yeah, I did. I made a list of three things I'm particularly excited about in London and in England that I would like to bring back to the States.
And
three things that can stay in England.
I can't wait for this.
That I'm very, very, like one of which I am insanely upset about. And
oh,
I feel like
hysterical.
We need to bring a lawyer in for it. And maybe we will call a lawyer and bring them in
barristers,
on this conversation.
Right? No?
Yes. Yeah. A barrister. They'll have a wig on and everything. Yeah. Do you want to start with, do you want me to do back and forth or should I just start with the three good things?
I'm just excited that you made a list, honey.
Yo, I mean, it's not written down. It's a mental list.
Okay.
Is that okay? I'm a mentalist. Didn't get it? All right. So I'll do pro, con.
Okay.
Pro, con? Okay. Yeah. All right. Pro. They have a traffic light situation here that is genius that for some reason we have not adopted in the United States of America. You ready for this?
Right.
So you know how when you are driving down a street in America and a yellow light comes up, it means that the red light is coming. So you slow down, or if you're me, you go as fast as you can to try to run the red light and hope that you don't get caught. However, in England, not only do they have that, they have like the lights about to turn green yellow light that happens. It's double light. It's a red light with a yellow light. So you know to still be red. But when the yellow light comes up, it means, okay, in a couple of seconds, the light's about to be green.
Yeah.
So think of, there's two reasons why this would really help out in America. Number one, you always get angry when people don't know that the light's turning green and their reflex is slow. And so many fewer people make it through a turn because... Mm-hmm. The jolting out of the red light thing gets to us.
You
and
are so
we have terrible reflex.
This.
Oh, I'm going to get more passionate about other things.
Oh, wow.
Don't worry. And then also people on their phones. People on their dang phones. Those are the two things.
I'm sorry. Nice to meet you. Your name is Penn Holderness, and you sit on your phone sometimes.
Not in this situation. I do not. Mm. I do sometimes. I was the guy like holding his phone up, walking through the streets of London because I didn't know where I was going.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, I love that, and I think it's a great idea.
You're right.
All right, so that's pro. Con. I'm not crazy about the direction we're going in with fashion right now.
This is not a London thing. This is an everywhere thing.
I see it a lot more here. I think London's ahead of the times.
No, London and New York are like where the rest of the world is. But
well,
you just wear gym clothes in
this,
Raleigh.
No. Here's what's happening in the world right now, okay? All of the clothes that look sexy on women 5 years ago are now being transferred over to men.
What do you mean?
Like tight pants, like culottes rolled up to your ankles, super skinny jeans.
But those have been in for a while, dude.
I'm telling you, I'm noticing it here when I haven't noticed it. And I've been to New York and I've been to LA. It's very pronounced here. Very
the
pronounced.
Pants are very short.
Very pronounced. And then on the women's side, somehow we have gotten in a hot tub time machine and gone back to the 1980s and everyone's wearing Guess jeans and Zeke Cavaricci's.
Yep.
And they look like, it looks like a Thriller video. The way that like these square blazers that women are walking around in.
And they look smashing.
It's not sexy though. Like, am I allowed to, like, can guys not tell you like the old skinny jeans where the waistline was like down way below your stomach and showed
those.
Some of the muscles like around.
No, because who has them? Like,
you do.
No, I used to. But listen, high-waisted skinny jeans. I love me some high-waisted jeans.
Okay.
I love, no. I
knew that you wouldn't agree with all of these things, but this is my list. But you're allowed to disagree. Sorry, go ahead.
I love some shoulder pads. Anyway. Yes.
So you like this?
I love the fashion the way it's going.
Do you care that it doesn't make you look very?
I don't care.
Sexy? No. So that's what it is. Are women have women decided that they don't want to look sexy anymore because it's a nuisance to them?
No, I think they just don't need to care what you think. I don't care what you think of what I'm wearing. If I feel great, I don't care if it's Oshkosh Bagosh overalls. I'm wearing.
Which we saw today.
We certainly did. We saw some Oshkosh on a grown woman. We saw some Oshkosh overalls and I don't, if I feel good about myself, I think then you think it's attractive when I feel good about myself.
Well, whatever is happening, it's pronounced in London and it's weird. And I like the way things used to be. I'm going to be a curmudgeon about this.
Okay. Grumpy old man.
Very good.
With your really comfortable fitted Lands End pants. Okay. Right. Okay.
Pro day boozing.
Well, that's just because we're on a vacation.
No. It is a London specific time honored tradition that like
We did walk through the convention center yesterday and everybody had a beer.
They spend more time during the day enjoying leisure time and then probably go to bed earlier than people in America appear to be doing. Like I don't think they're shutting down nightclubs at 4 o'clock. If they are, God bless them. But there's a lot of daytime enjoyment, which I prefer, so I can just get to the old Game of Thrones at 7 o'clock or 7:30 or whenever that happens.
I think you're making sweeping generalizations, but I did notice a lot of, in a business district, a lot of alcohol on the table.
So okay. I'm making sweeping generalizations that you have evidence of. Is that what's happening?
Moving on. I love you.
I'm saying it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Cons. I'm really confused and don't understand the tipping situation in this country.
Yeah. Yeah. Super confused. So you don't tip a server in a restaurant.
They don't even give you the option to tip.
But I do believe you're supposed to tip like the
coat check lady.
Coat check.
But I don't know.
Yeah. I think I err on the side of just tipping. I just tip.
Okay. I understand that. But then I tried to tip someone and at one point they looked at me like I was crazy and said, we don't take that. It was at a bar when I got a beer and I said, keep the change. And he goes, oh no, sir. And he gave it back to me. I was like, no, keep the change. He's like, no. And he gave it back to me and he walked away.
You know what? I tried to tip the guy in the hotel that brought it because I forgot to bring the little power converters and I tried to tip him and he said, no, it's my pleasure. But then I do think you tip. I'm so confused, but I err on the side of just like, I throw money at people.
Well, whatever the situation, I think there are ways that you are offending people or like messing up the economy or the situation or the establishment if you do it wrong. And there needs to be a sign at the airport, just like the sign that says, here's where your baggage is, that explains the tipping situation.
Yeah.
Is there any reason there isn't just a welcome to England?
I think that's on Google somewhere that we just didn't do.
Welcome to England. We drive on the wrong side of the road.
It's not the wrong side of the road.
We drive on the other side of the road. And we don't tip here, except in these situations. I don't like. Yeah, I guess I should have done some research.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
A Google search.
Just a bit of research.
Okay.
Okay, where are we? Are we on to cons now? No, that was cons. So the third pro and the best part about England is the Indian food situation.
Oh, so good.
There is a reason why. I'm sure it has something to do with how people moved here and who did what and when they did it, but the Indian food is unbelievable and it has been the best so far, the best two meals we've had. Mm-hmm. We're going to dinner tonight and I'm guessing we're just going to get Indian food again. Yeah, right? Like we're not gonna try anything else.
Nope, don't need to. The last con is my favorite.
Do you know what it is?
Yes, I know what it is.
All right, I'm angry about this.
Okay.
So, very, very angry. So why don't you lead us in?
Okay, so the way Penn and I have always, as a couple, if it's just the two of us, or even a big group of us, our favorite thing to do ever is to go to a karaoke bar and just to make fools of ourselves.
And also enjoy other people making fools of themselves and enjoying it.
And we go to different cities and we've made great, fun friends, just like clapping for them. And then Penn I don't even sing karaoke. I'm like backup dancer. But just like Penn is hysterical on a stage. It's a fun way to see a city and to meet people and to experience like different nightlife. So we had a lovely dinner. We went to Sticks and Sushi, this awesome sushi restaurant, and we were at Covent Garden, and we went onto the old Google Maps and we're like, where's the nearest karaoke bar? And there's little dots all over, and we walk in.
And it's an Italian restaurant.
It's an Italian restaurant.
And I speak to the owner.
Yeah.
And I say, where's the karaoke bar? That's what it says. I showed him the thing. And he said, well, it's a management group that comes here sometimes for karaoke, but they're not here right now. So let's start with false advertising.
So we find another.
That was enough to make me angry, but not like Lou Ferrigno angry yet. So anyway, we move along to the next spot. And this one is called the Karaoke Box. It's called the Karaoke Box. It's going to have karaoke. we walk half a mile through lots of people and we get to the karaoke box. And it's this, it's like a receptionist with like a tiny little bar. And he says, do you have a room? And we were like, no, we just want to go to the open space and sing. And he goes, nope, there is no open space. There's only small rooms. And the next available one is 6 hours from now. It was 6 hours from now. Bummer, right? Like, also, like, I'm not a big karaoke private room thing. I like to meet and mingle with people who are also making fools out of themselves. And that's a time-honored tradition in any of the places where we've gone. So here's what the guy says. He says, well, a couple of years ago, the British Parliament made a rule that you have to license the song every time you sing it if it's in public. If it's behind bar, like behind closed doors, apparently they don't. So now in England, the only karaoke establishments that they have are these little boxes where you're by yourself singing to like two other people that you know in a tiny room. And those open space karaoke things, they can't exist anymore because they're too expensive to try to license the music. So that's what he tells us last night. And I just think that's, I think that's a dumb law, right?
Is it? Well, like, no. Okay. By the way, I appreciate what you're saying and I am here for it, except for I got distracted and I went to Google.
Wait, as I was talking?
Yes. I'm also horrified. Karaoke situation in London is just an abomination and should be corrected. Tipping in London on the official Visit London. This is the official
website.
Hang on
a second. So wait, we're done with karaoke or you're going somewhere else
now? I'm going somewhere else because I'm so embarrassed. You okay. are supposed to tip 10 to 15% of the bill when you're eating out.
Okay,
there's some restaurants add a service charge instead, but you have to ask. So have we been stiffing people?
No. There would be a sign that says tip underneath.
Are
it.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh, we are those dumb Americans that have just been going around and like saying, oh, we don't take tips. It says,
I know that they're
customary, though some add on a service charge instead.
Crap. Can you call the Indian restaurant and ask them if we stiffed them?
Oh my gosh.
Them? Like seriously, call them right now.
Back.
Call them right now.
Okay.
Because this place was unbelievable. And it was worth every penny.
We need to tip the porters.
We did.
Okay, you did.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's it. I'm sorry. I love you, and that's our...
Well, no, we need to call the restaurant we just went to.
We'll call after we're done.
No, let's call them right now. Let's figure it out. Because this place was unbelievable. It was from the beginning to the end of the meal. I didn't look at the check because I'm that guy who just puts a credit card out. And also, we had to go downstairs and FaceTime with our kids, so we had to hurry out of there. We need to find out like right now whether or not we stiff them on lots of money.
And then I think this is a really boring podcast.
No, it's not. This is good. You do? You think so?
I think
you keep saying podcasts are boring.
Welcome to Viraswami. Our calls are recorded to help ensure good customer service. Please choose one of the following options. For reservations, please press 1.
That was 1.
Please hold. Your call is being connected. However, to reserve online and save you waiting, please go to www.viraswami.com.
They don't need to say www.
Good afternoon, Viraswami.
Hi, we just ate lunch there and had a fantastic time, and I had a quick question for you. So we're from the States, and we're super confused. It was the most delicious lunch, and we paid the check, and I didn't remember to ask whether or not the gratuity was included in the check or if we were supposed to leave that extra.
No, usually it is, and the service charge is usually included of 12.5%.
Okay, that makes sense, because I didn't see a line underneath on our credit card for tip, and we're new here, and we're trying to figure that out.
Yes, it has been.
Okay, so you guys don't think we're terrible, right?
Sorry?
You don't think that we're terrible, correct?
No, definitely not.
Okay, thank you so much. It was so delicious. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You.
See, that's journalism right there. Oh, I know you think this is a bad podcast, but we just got results.
I had a pit in my stomach because, well, and I just, that we would stiff people. Anyway, back to the show.
Yeah. Okay. So those are my three things. Did I get through all three?
Yes.
I was mad about the karaoke bar. You completely spaced out on me and went to
talk
about something
else. No, I know. But so for that reason, could you sing some karaoke for me right now?
I don't know if this microphone is good for it. And I'm lying down. But what do you want me to sing?
We watched the Bohemian Rhapsody on the way over.
Oh, you want me to sing Freddie Mercury?
Yeah, we're in England.
Can I just say there's two singers that I can never do? One is Freddie Mercury and one is the guy from Soundgarden. Like, they're just too good.
Okay.
But I could try.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm just a poor boy. Nobody loves me. You have to sing the other part.
No, I don't.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family. Mama just killed a man. Put a gun again. I don't have his range. Are you kidding me?
And you're lying down. Why don't you sit up?
No, I don't. I'm good.
Put some effort into it, Holderness.
I did. You are putting zero effort into this.
I know. Like, well, I'm not the person who does karaoke.
Anyway, England, come on. Come on, England. You're so great in so many other ways. The karaoke thing, are you joking me? I mean, I know you're very busy with Brexit right now. It's actually happening like right now.
I know.
But come on. Like, there, you have bigger problems.
I know.
And they're called karaoke.
Karaoke.
Okay, so we have there's another, this is a two-part podcast. First part was Penn talking about London. Kim gave that one a B-.
I gave that a B- because I just don't know how interesting it is. But we've been getting a lot of feedback on our podcast, which I really appreciate. And some people said, hey, you should do more than one a week. I don't know if we could commit to that, but they do say, hey, Penn should be able to talk about random things just because I'm doing my laundry in the middle of your podcast and it should be a little longer. I'm not going to make it longer just to make it longer. But this is a discussion that came up in the middle of lunch that I think is very – it's going to be Penn's TED Talk when he gives one on stage. My husband has such incredible, incredible willpower when it comes to food and fitness and work. I mean, he's really devoted for – he's a total space cadet. He is a little absent-minded. Like, he has on a number of times left entire, like, files and computers on tops of cars and walked away.
Thank you.
And driven away because he has ADD.
I'm impatient.
And he's incredibly impatient. But
– thank you.
He is – we got back from one trip or another. It was a work trip, and we got back, and he had, you know, just from being on an airplane and eating gross, you know, just not ideal food because you're on the road, he weighed himself, and perhaps he just didn't love the number on the scale. A week later, he'd get on the scale, and he's like, oh, there you go. I'm good. I'm good now. And in that week, he decided, he's like, oh, I just cut down on wheat, dairy, alcohol. And yeah, I'm good. And because he's tall and he's a giant, he lost like 10 pounds in a week. And so that's like not, you should not strive for that because that's not an actual real thing that most people can do. But he has such incredible willpower, and he did it like without, I feel like when I start an exercise or a nutrition regimen, I'm a little more like, I'm so intentional about it that everybody has to hear about it. But you just like, you're like, oh, I'm just not going to – you just don't make a big deal about it, and you make some really serious changes. And it, I want to say it looks easy for you. So I want to dissect like how – like your willpower is enviable. How – what – just tell me what do you do?
Well, there's a little more to it than that, and I think that was what our conversation was about. And actually, I had never verbalized it. I think I just do it naturally.
This is where your Tony Robbins moment, honey.
Maybe. Okay. Can I warn people that this is the first time I've said this out loud other than lunch?
Okay.
And so this may not be – it's not – don't put this on Ted.
Yet.
Wherever he is.
Wherever Ted is.
Yeah, don't bother Ted yet. We're going to
– yet.
We're going to – we'll get to him
we'll
at
get to
some
Ted
point.
In a second.
Did – so like – how many speeches did Ted give before
I don't know they, that. I don't
before it, this became a thing and he started letting other people talk?
I don't think Ted's, I think it's like an I don't think.
What? Don't what know. Does it even stand for?
Oh my gosh.
Is it like technology?
I think it's like a technology education
thing. Oh,
that's
really disappointing. I thought there was a Ted.
No, I think it's like a technology education thing.
Well, that would be a TE. Maybe. Well, it's disappointing. Okay, so here we go. Kim asked me, she's like, how do you...
Technology entertainment design. So I thought it was technology education.
So there's no TED.
Yeah.
That's really disappointing.
I think there should be a TED.
Yeah.
We should start the Fred talk.
And, well, we don't know any Freds. Oh, you know a Fred. You used to date a Fred.
I used to date a Fred.
Kim used to date a guy named Fred. He's the drummer for Cinderella.
We dated for a
bit. I know. I super want to meet this guy.
Anyway, great guy. Let's moving on. Moving on.
All right. So... willpower. You guys, it's whether or not I make it look easy, there's no such thing as an easy way to just quit doing something that you do habitually, that you love doing, that you think brings you happiness, or that at least brings you comfort, right? That's if it looks easy, I apologize. It's not.
It's
what,
not easy.
What I do, and this is, it's kind of simple, and then we'll break it down and we can kind of do some examples. I always think about the positive side of it. I have an optimistic form of willpower where I'm always thinking about how it's actually going to benefit me. And then Kim said, well, okay, I don't know that I really am going to be able to get through this if I'm thinking about how it's going to benefit me 4 weeks down the road, because when you stop doing these things, it's not like immediate results happen.
Right. And I think that's a problem that it's most people have, because you're, let's just go with nutrition at this point, though I think that there's a willpower component for a lot of different areas of life. I want to feel better about myself, maybe shed a few pounds. I'm in a restaurant setting and they make the most world's most delicious pizza. Well, that's not a good example, because if you're getting the world's most delicious pizza, you should just eat it.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
But if it's Friday night and our kids always want to order pizza,
and there's a really good pizza,
and there's a pizza that comes to the door, but it's like Friday night and it's not the last pizza you're ever going to have. Like, how do you stop from eating the pizza knowing that the pizza is going to make you feel like garbage? Like, I just then have the pizza and then I feel gross.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of answered the question yourself. It's, you don't think about long-term stuff. You find a way to optimistically look at what's, like, right now. Because I'm impatient. Right now, how is what I'm doing going to make my life better? How is it going to improve everything around me and make me ultimately happier at this moment, not 4 weeks down the road? So I can give you some examples.
Please.
So when I had to cut out pizza and when I had to cut out bread and cheese at the same time because my cholesterol was really bad. And the doctor who told me that in a very fire and brimstone way. And I did not take it well. I was like, this person was yelling at me. I don't think this person likes me. I don't know what to do. I'm stressed out about it. And then you know, when a slice of pizza came around, I acknowledged and admitted that pizza looks really good. But right now, if I don't eat that pizza, I'm going to feel great. I'm going to be able to take my kids for a walk afterwards. I'm going to be able to go take Ruby for a walk for like an hour. I could go do push-ups. I could, there's like so many things I could do with my life because I'm not bogging my body down because I immediately feel bad. Same thing when I go like to the drive-thru at McDonald's. Making the decision not to eat that food gives me like 2 or 3 hours of optimal positive feeling.
So you're saying you get a little buzz off of saying no. Yeah. So I think that's where the discovery is that the next time the pizza comes, when I order a chicken salad instead, is to realize like there's a little buzz off of saying no to something.
Enjoy that no. Enjoy that decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if that lettuce tastes like a poop, you know, maybe there's like, first of all, maybe there's like a really good piece of salami on it or something, or you put something, or it's a really good dressing on it. Mm-hmm. And appreciate and be grateful for that dressing that you would not be eating if you were eating that pizza. And then also, yeah, that buzz, you know, for me, honestly, last week, I did this again. Like I decided, okay, I'm going to stop drinking during the day because I am a habitual, like
drinking
five
during the week, you mean?
Sorry, during the week. Yes, yeah. During weekdays. I'm going to stop drinking when I wake up in the morning. No, it's funny. So Kim and I actually talked about this together, about stopping drinking during the week, because I have so many opportunities to do it. I really do.
Right.
Like I work for myself. I can have a beer for lunch if I want to, and I can complete my job. I can do whatever I want to. I could have a beer for dinner if I wanted to. My kids are old enough. I don't have to like pick them up and carry them anywhere. I'm okay. Like we're kind of homebodies. We stayed home. And the original decision to not do that, we made because I have people close to me genetically who are, I mean, I have got the gene for alcoholism, and I've learned that recently, and that sucks, right?
Yeah.
That sucks. So the first decision that we made and what I thought was going to be my motivation was I don't want to turn out like those people where alcohol changes my behavior when I get older. Mm-hmm. Because guess what, guys? Like the older you get, the harder that is. Mm-hmm. And the easier it is for something like that to affect you. And that has kind of turned our lives in the wrong direction several times, just with people that we love. So like there shouldn't be any reason other than that to do it. Like that fear, the fear of that happening to you.
Right.
And that's a good reason to do it. And that's how I started.
That I have to say, We came different than nutrition. We came at the decision to just stop drinking. So we don't have a drinking problem, but the path to it, I think it doesn't. It's not like anybody that we know that has a drinking problem right now went from zero to alcoholic. It was a slow, you know, it was a slow, steady climb. And I think if we can kind of take that component out, and I think it was the first time that I was like, we had a really hard day last week with our doggie, and I really at 6:30 wanted a glass of wine, but to say no and to have that long term, this is why I'm saying no, was probably the first time I thought about it like that. It did feel good to be like, no, I can find another way to cope with this. I can find another way to relax.
And, right.
Yeah.
And so here's what happened to me. The first decision to like, okay, let's do this. My inner selfish self was like, no, I enjoy a glass of wine.
Right.
I don't want to do this. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it out of fear and out of sadness and out of insecurity. And that, honestly, that didn't work for me.
Right.
But I did it.
Right.
And I have continued to do it for a couple of weeks now. And the reason why is because I realized that there are positive ways to look at this thing instead of fear and sadness and other people's opinions of you and all that other stuff. There's ways to, on that day. So I got to drive my friends to a basketball game.
Yeah.
That otherwise, like, I was always like the guy who didn't drive because I had a crappy car and, you know, no one likes the car. And, you know, someone else volunteers. Great. Okay. We're going to a sports game. I'm going to have some beers. And
never to the point of excess, but like two, you know,
of course, and to the point that I shouldn't drive. You shouldn't drive after one.
Yeah.
Beer.
And we just never drive after having a drink. So, yeah.
Right. But as the night went on, I was like actively looking for and appreciating good things about this. Like I was able to focus on the game a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know what else is funny? I thought that I was going to be less funny and less entertaining because I wasn't drinking.
Yeah.
Like isn't that crazy? Like you feel like, okay, I'm not as fun when I don't have like a couple of beers. And I noticed that people were laughing at me and talking to me and engaging me. And I like someone actually texted me and was like, man, that was a really good time. You were cracking me up on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
So like immediately there in that moment, look at that. I am doing better because I made this decision.
You're clear. You're more focused.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is. It's
and
just...
by the way, we have not given up alcohol entirely.
And by the way, I had beers at lunch. So.
Well, because it's the weekend.
Yeah.
It's the weekend.
And it was an Indian restaurant. It was amazing.
Yeah. So what we've decided was like starting Friday after work until Sunday at noon, and not to get sloshed, but to be like have a drink. If we went to on Friday night and a drink on Saturday night, I don't know why we could just do Friday and Saturday night, you know? So anyway, but that I have to say, but just cutting out that daily during the week thing is a willpower component that I was super impressed. It's a bigger deal for you because I think you would always have a beer with dinner or a glass of wine. And whereas I didn't always. So.
Right. And I weigh 200 pounds and it doesn't really affect me as much as it does other people have like a pretty good tolerance.
Yeah. So, so you have incredible willpower with food because you can – it kind of gives you a buzz to have that control. You have now incredible willpower with this alcohol just to be able to like say no to drinking during the week. But also with work, you get really – and I think maybe this is the blessing of ADD. You get like really dialed in on a specific project where I get easily distracted and I want to comb through it 1,000 times and I want to make it I take a lot longer to get something done. And I think it's because you can get like you have the willpower just like to get knee deep in it and get it finished.
It's not just willpower. It's, again, that is and I'm learning something while saying this. That's positive willpower. I don't think about what's going to happen to me if I don't finish this. I think about what's going to happen to me if I do finish this. Like what good things are going to happen to me even while I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm getting better at my job as I'm doing this.
No, totally.
I'm working and I'm getting better at my job. Like as the work is happening, I'm going to discover something really cool in the process of putting this story together. I'm going to learn something new. I'm going to master something new. I'm going to create something new that no one's ever seen before because I'm sitting here working on this. And then I'm going to get done. And it's going to feel great. I'm going to push that. So when you work in the job where I do, there's this final button called render. And it's a built-in break. It's like 10 minutes where they have to, you spend a long time making a pie and you put it in the oven, and with the video, that's how that renders. And so that's kind of my crack. That's my
you get a little buzz.
Yeah. You push that button and you also, it's like a built-in break. You can check your emails.
Yeah. So that's what I was about to say, is that I think a lot of times with myself, and I know other people because I've talked to other people about it, the distraction of the ding on the phone, there's always the allure of Facebook or checking your emails, or there's like a new, like you just got an alert that there's like a sale from a store you like and you can go online shop. Like there's so many distractions and you have the willpower to just shut those out. And it's very inspiring.
It's great also because, and I'm going, you keep saying willpower. It's the outlook, right? It's the positive feeling like I'm going to put my phone down, which means I'm going to get my work done. And also, let's be optimistic, when I do pick my phone up, I can read everything in about 15 seconds instead of dipping down every 15 seconds every 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Doing it over and over and over again. Like I haven't picked my phone up in a while. I'm sure I'm going to have a bunch of messages. And if any of those people really needed to like talk to me, they would have called me by now.
Right.
And they haven't.
And I think that's the danger of social media. And I know we make our living basically creating content that's viewable exclusively on social media. So it's a bit of a hypocrisy to say this. But I think social media, for me at least, has made it so I cannot pay attention long term to things. So, yes, I'm inspired with your willpower. I always want to feel better and I always eat healthy-ish. But I think that even just making those little tiny choices, just having that positive outlook is great. But I think like my big takeaway is the work thing, is just being able to focus on like the immediate high you get from completing a task at hand.
And acknowledge it and celebrate it.
Right.
Right? Because every decision that you make in life, there's two sides to it. And you can spend your entire life thinking about the downside to a choice without even realizing it. You can do it. And oh my gosh, I'm that person who's constantly thinking about it. If you get in a funk in life, and by the way, you've been around me when I've gotten in funks, mm-hmm. it gets harder and harder to do that. And I'm sitting here giving this speech that I just made up that may not even make any sense to anyone. And there's going to be a time when this is going to be way more challenging to me than it is now. But if you've got that formula about, and I think just you say willpower, I think the best term is self-discipline. Because self-discipline encompasses work. It encompasses like the habits that you have, the things that you do.
Yeah.
And if you just look for the other side of it, it's there. It's just not a natural part of the way that we think right now. Well, but it's there. Gratitude and appreciation and looking at the good side of things is a choice that you can make.
Yeah. So what's the positive instead of I don't get to have pizza? Like, what's the positive of having that salad?
Oh my gosh. I already feel better.
Right.
I'm standing up and walking around and doing the dishes without feeling like I want to like lay down and take a coma.
Right. And for us, practicality of like, what's the advantages of not having alcohol during the week?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many, and it doesn't have to be, you need to make sure that you're thinking about it at the moment of the decision. Mm-hmm. Cause at that moment it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to be clear headed. I'm going to enjoy a delicious glass of water that my body actually needs. It's going to be good. I'm going to be able to listen better to the people who are around me. Mm-hmm. That's what gets you started. And then allow yourself to enjoy it as time goes on. I'm not tired. It's 2 hours later. I'm not tired. I could stay out and continue having these conversations. The next morning, I just jumped right out of bed and felt fantastic, way better than I did yesterday mm-hmm. when I had two glasses of wine before I went to bed. And like with the pizza, enjoy, like be appreciative. Look down. There is a spot on my belt buckle that no longer is needed.
Right.
And go back to that decision. Mm-hmm. Instead of, oh man, I got to keep doing this. Oh man, I really miss pizza.
Yeah.
Oh man, I really want pizza.
Willpower by pen. I'm just framing your Fred talk.
It needs work.
I'm going to get you a PowerPoint presentation, yeah, baby.
We just got started. We got to run it by Ted. I don't know if it's ready for Ted, but we're going to see what he thinks.
I will say, thank you for enjoying our ramblings here on the old podcast. And thank you for the comments you guys leave for us at on Instagram through direct messages or on Facebook. We're at the Holderness Family if you wanted to find us. The best, like, most wonderful thing you could do for us is to hit that subscribe button. On Apple Podcasts, it's a purple button. And that way, these podcasts are kind of automatically loaded onto your phone. And you could hit listen. And you can listen while you're doing laundry or doing the dishes or walking the dog. And you can, we love the feedback. So thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back in the United States either next week or yesterday or whatever.
Or 4 days ago, we're there.
Or in, who knows?
We don't even know.
Last Christmas, yeah.
Happy New Year.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.